Well, good evening, everyone. How are you guys? Good. What's up? Happy Mother's Day. Sunday. Sunday is Mother's Day. I am not a mother. Glad to not be a mother. Well, guys, I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me. My name is Jeff Kirkland. By the way, if anybody wants a Bible, there are some Bibles up here. You're more than welcome to come get one if you'd like. My name is Jeff Kirkland. I'm a pastor of a church in the Brentwood, Clayton area, right by the Galleria. And I have been in the St. Louis area for about 5 months, moved here from Los Angeles, California with my family, went to Bible college and seminary out there. God did a work in my life, transformed my heart out there, came to St. Louis here to start a new church. And we are praising the Lord and thankful for what God is doing here in St. Louis through the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. I brought a guy from our church, Sam Vermeer, back there. And Sam is here, and he and I are going to spend some time together tonight. But guys, I want to challenge you tonight with a message from the Bible. I don't know if all of you have read the Bible, or if you believe the Bible, or if you know much about the Bible. But if you don't, I want to help you tonight, because we're going to talk about a very important chapter, because we've been going through the book of Revelation together. Book of Revelation. So, we're going to talk tonight from Revelation chapter 4 about the topic of heaven. Topic of heaven. And guys, I want to begin by asking you the question, when you think of heaven, what do you think about? When you think of heaven, what do you think about? Clouds? What else? What? God? That's good. You think God would be in heaven. What else? Holy angels praising God? Angels flying? Okay, what else? Golden sidewalks, what else? No crying, no worrying, good, good. You know what? And some of those things, the Bible brings out elements of it, but you know what? There, if you look at Hollywood, you look at movies, maybe the picture that you've got in your mind, heaven might bring you floating on clouds with little wings coming out your back. And kind of this old, boring, old hymnal singing, you know, hymns, you know, worship that doesn't frankly excite you. And when you think of heaven, you don't want to go there, if that's what's in your mind, right? But guys, I want to tell you, from the Bible tonight, we're going to find a very different picture of heaven. We're going to find a very different picture of what heaven is all about. And tonight, one of the elements of heaven that we're going to talk about is going to bring out one main theme, and it's this. And you said it. God is in heaven. And God sits on a throne in heaven. That is to say, God is perfect. God is holy. God is in charge. God is totally sovereign over everything. And everybody in heaven will worship him, will bow before him, will acknowledge him as the creator and the Lord. Guys, every true Christian longs for that day when you can worship God and worship Jesus Christ and worship the Holy Spirit perfectly for all of eternity. It's not going to be boring. It's not going to be worthless. It's not going to be old and archaic hymns that you hate. It's not going to be some pipe organ only over and over and over and over. That would be miserable. But I want to tell you, heaven is not about singing hymns. Heaven is not about streets of gold. Heaven is not about angels. Heaven is not even about you. It's not even about me. Heaven is not about no crying, no pain, no sickness. It's not even about that. Heaven is about one thing. God receiving all the praise, all the worship, all the glory that he rightly deserves. Did you ever think about that before? That's what heaven is all about. And tonight, as we go through Revelation chapter 4, I want to show that to you. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Because in Revelation 4, beginning in verse 1, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. The Bible is the only book that God has given to human beings so that we may know God. And that therefore means that every other religious book was written by a man, not the Bible. It was written by God. Yes, a human being wrote down the words, I understand that. But God so guided the hand of the writer that he wrote down exactly what the God of heaven and earth wanted him to write down. That's why this book is true. That's why the Christian faith is the only true faith. And if the Christian faith is the only true faith, that must mean that every other religion is wrong. Now, if Pastor Jeff says that, that's the height of arrogance. Total pride if I say that. And I don't say that by my own authority. I say that because that's what God says. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Right? You can't get to heaven any other way. So we got to look at what God's Word says, the only true book from God given to you and me, so that we may know God, know ourselves, and know about eternal life. Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. Guys, picture that. Can you picture being like John? Remember John, one of the 12 disciples, was a follower of Jesus. Remember that? And remember that he wrote the book of Revelation where? Anybody know?
The island of Patmos.
Island of what?
Patmos.
Now, the island of Patmos was the Roman Empire's way of persecuting somebody. If you wanted to send somebody to jail, you had jails. But another thing you could do is send a guy to his own island. What's he going to do? He's all by himself. He can't do much harm. So John was exiled to an island all by himself because he was preaching the Word of God. He was preaching about Jesus Christ. Roman government didn't like that. While he was on the island of Patmos, he had a vision into heaven. He had a vision of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus gives John different letters to different churches. Kind of like the Church of Clayton, the Church of Brentwood, the Church of Maplewood, the Church of Chesterfield, the Church of St. Louis City. Different churches in different areas where Jesus said, hey, you know what? Your church is doing good. Your church is dead. Hey, your church, you got a name that you're alive, but you know what? All your works are not good. Man, you're lukewarm. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Or you know what? You've lost your first love. You left me long ago. So John writes the letters down. Now in chapter 4, he begins with a vision, and he says, I saw into heaven. Guys, you have the opportunity right here tonight to get a glimpse into heaven, not because you're going to have some vision, but because the Bible reveals it. The Bible reveals it. I saw a door standing open in heaven, and there was a voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me. Guys, in the ancient world, if a king or a ruler or a leader wanted to get your attention, he would go on a high point in the city and he would blow a trumpet. For example, if I wanted to take you out to war, if I wanted to take you as my army to face another army in battle, I could blow a trumpet. And that would be the signal call for all of us to gather together. Something very important has got to happen. John heard Jesus. A voice like a trumpet. Something really important is going to happen here. Verse 1, he said, come up here and I'm going to show you what must take place after these things. The voice from heaven said to John, come up to heaven and I'm going to show you what will take place later on. I'm going to show you what will happen in our vocabulary at the end of the world. I'm going to show you what's going to happen at the end of the age before Jesus comes back again. All the judgment, all the hardship, all the suffering, all the pain, all the torment, the Antichrist, all of that. Revelation's going to talk about it. But verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne standing in heaven, and there was one sitting on the throne. Fellas, you need to know something. This is Christian Theology 101. This is what you need to understand to know the Bible rightly, and it's this. There is one throne in heaven. One throne. And who sits on a throne? Well, God, but in the ancient world, there was a king, right? He would sit on a throne in the ancient world. There's a throne in heaven, and there's only one person on that throne, and it's God. God is worthy to be worshipped. God does not share that throne with anybody else. He does not share that throne with you. He does not share it with me. God does not want you to try to take that throne from him. He alone will occupy that throne. In other words, this is the biblical doctrine of God's sovereignty. That God is powerful. That God is the king. That God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with whomever he wants, anywhere he wants, all the time. You say, I don't like that. I don't like a God that can do whatever he wants with me because I don't feel like I'm in control at that point. And that's exactly the point. God is in control, not you. God is in control, not me. The one element that John is bringing out in Revelation chapter 4 about heaven is this. There is a throne in heaven, and the one who sits on the throne is worthy of worship. Do you understand that? And fellas, listen, if in your life you refuse to worship this God who sits on the throne, you will be eternally judged. It's not what Pastor Jeff is saying that counts. It's what the Bible says that counts. Because the scriptures say, if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. But the one who disobeys the Son of God has been judged already. The wrath of God abides on him. John 3, verse 36. So, fellas, I want you to know tonight that God is on the throne, that God is sovereign, and I want to ask all of you the question. Have you bowed the knee to this one God? Have you bowed the knee to the one God who is sovereign and powerful over heaven and earth, and powerful and sovereign over your life, even over what happened to you today? If you're sitting there right now and you're mocking me saying, Jeff, I don't believe in this God. I don't believe in what you're talking about. I like to be in control of my own life right now. Friend, I want to tell you, you're in a lost condition. You do not know the one true God of the Bible because you've tried to make yourself your own God. And you have committed the very fundamental sin of the Bible, and that's the sin of idolatry. You've rejected the one true God, and you've tried to make up your own God. John says, verse 3, I saw one sitting on the throne. He was sitting like a jasper stone, sardius in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne. Hey, guys, what event in the book of Genesis do you think of when you hear a rainbow? Who said it?
Noah.
Promise of the flood, where God said, I will never again flood the world with water. Never do that. Let me get to that later. He asked a question that if somebody died with an illness or an ailment or a bad leg or a bad physical condition, would that person be healed in heaven? And it's a great question. And the answer is yes. For somebody that enters heaven, there will be absolute perfection in heaven. But here's the interesting thing, though. Heaven is not only about being healthy. That's nice. Heaven is not only about streets of gold. I don't really care about gold streets. Heaven is not about having a lot of food. It's called the marriage supper. Heaven is about one thing, worshiping God, worshiping Him rightly, being satisfied in God, and delighting in Him. That's the beautiful thing of heaven, and that's what John brings out here. And then what he says is this, verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments. Friends, those 24 elders are representative of the church. When you are in heaven, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be clothed in a white garment. You will be spotless. You will be pure. You will be washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's your only ticket to enter heaven. Dear friends, if you're here tonight and you think that you can enter heaven by your own good works, if you're here tonight and you think that you can live a good enough life in order to get to heaven, dear friends, you're in a bad, sad, miserable state. Because you got to be perfect. And I guarantee you one thing, you haven't even been perfect today. I haven't been perfect today. The scripture says, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and never sins. The scripture says, we have all like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The scripture says that there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. That's the problem of your heart and my heart. And friends, I want to tell you, the only way you can get to heaven is you got to be perfect somehow. You got to be made white somehow. You got to be pure somehow. You got to be totally righteous somehow. So I want to ask you, how are you going to be perfect to get to heaven? How are you going to be clothed in white garments to get to heaven? Is it your baptism? Is it your church attendance? You're not as bad as the guy sitting next to you? The problem, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The problem is this, you can't do it. You say, I got to keep the Ten Commandments. You can't do it. You got to ask for forgiveness. Okay, good. That's getting there, but Scripture says, when the Philippian jailer said to Paul when he was in prison, how do I get saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2. People said, what do we have to do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He was saying, if you repent of your sin, you have a new heart, a new life. You're saved. And then you show that you're saved by your baptism. It's a way of identifying with Jesus Christ. Friends, the only way you can enter heaven, the only way you can be pure, the only way you can be clothed in white, listen, is by believing in Jesus Christ and the life that He lived and the death that He died in your place. Scripture says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are now clothed with the righteousness of Christ. All the perfection, all of the beauty, all of the holiness that Jesus has, If you repent of your sin and believe in Christ, you can receive that pure, new, righteous garment, spiritually speaking. That's the only way you can get into heaven. Verse 5, but lest you think that God is some puppy, some little puppet, some little teddy bear, some little cute little genie that you can kind of pray to and call at your own whim. Look at verse 5. Look at how God is described in all of his power, all of his majesty. Out from the throne, God sits on the throne, remember that? Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And this is drawing us back to Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, when God revealed himself to the people of Israel and the mountain literally shook. Lightning came, thunder came, the mountain quaked. Friends, I want to ask you, have you ever trembled before the greatness and the power of God? If you say no, dear friends, you don't know God. If you say no, dear friends, can I be so bold as to say you're not saved? Because in order to be saved, you need to recognize who God is and who we are. Man, God is scary. Is he a God of love? Yes. Is he a God of mercy and compassion? Yes. Is he a God of forgiveness? Yes. Is he a God of holy power that has enough power that he could strike every one of us with the breath of his mouth? Yes, he is. Friends, you need to know that that is the God of the Bible. That it is a God that you cannot play with. You do not own this God. You do not manipulate this God. You cannot tell God what to do. God is on the throne. He's sovereign. He is powerful. And he's so powerful that lightning and thunder and sounds from heaven come forth from that throne, showing just how powerful God is. Well, look at verse 7. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, third creature like the face of a man, fourth creature like a flying eagle, and the living creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes around and within. Day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Friends, did you know that in heaven there are angels there? And did you know that in heaven, the angels have one purpose? To worship God and to worship the holiness of God. It says they got wings. It says they have eyes all around them, in front of them and behind them. What in the world? What an amazing creature. And look, if anybody has a Bible, look at verse 8. What do they say? Day after day after day, what do they say?
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. By the way, is there ever a time in the Bible when God is talked about as being love, love, love? God is a loving God. But nowhere in the Bible is there ever a point when he says, love, love, love is the Lord. No, no, no. What about patience, 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 patience? No. The one element that John wants to bring out here, and it is the song of heaven, is this: holy, holy, holy. Holy. What does holy mean? Anybody know? What does holy mean? Speak to me.
Pure.
What?
Pure.
Pure in what sense? You're separated from what?
From sin.
If you're holy, you're separated from sin. Fellas, that's why you and I could never enter heaven in our own state.
Amen.
Have you ever been sinfully angry?
Yes.
Have you ever lusted? Have you ever masturbated? Have you ever been in such a state in your life when you've not loved God perfectly with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yes. Have you ever been impatient with someone? Yes. Have you ever been selfish, bitter, resentful, envious, covetous? Yes. Are you feeling guilty? Yes, I commit all of those. Yes, I have sinned against God. All of those are sins, and all of those are unholy deeds. That's why God can have nothing to do with you and me. If God let me into heaven, I would defile heaven the moment I got there. So would you. Because you're unholy and I am unholy. You got to get right with God. That's right. You nailed it. You have to be holy in order to get to heaven. But the point that John is bringing out here is that in heaven, the worship praises God for being totally holy, separated from sin, totally apart from the presence of sin. He is pure, spotless, blameless, absolutely undefiled. Dear friends, if you are not a Christian here tonight, you need to be holy somehow. You need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Because you have no relationship with this one true God who is holy if you are unholy. Well, you have a relationship. It's a bad one. It's a relationship of war, as the Bible calls it. But dear friends, if you fall before the cross of Jesus Christ and you acknowledge Him as Savior and as Sovereign and as Lord of heaven and earth, and you say, God, I'm a sinner and I know I deserve hell and I deserve judgment and I deserve wrath and I deserve eternal condemnation and punishment for my sin, God, would you forgive me? God, I know that Jesus died on the cross in my place and He took the punishment that I deserve. God, forgive me of my sin. Scripture says you can be reconciled with God, that you can be made right with God, that you can draw near to God with a sincere heart and He will hear you. He will be your Father and you will be His Son. But that's not for everybody. It's only for those who see how holy God is, and for those who see how unholy they are, and for those who humble themselves and say, man, God, I'm a wretch. I'm a wicked sinner. Save me. Wash me. Purify me. Make me clean. And I love what the scriptures say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Friends, God is holy. He is holy. When the four living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to God who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, by the way, they represent the church. They fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and they will cast their crowns before the throne. Dear friends, those in heaven will bow the knee to Jesus Christ in worship. Friends, I want to ask you, and I want every one of you to answer this in your own heart. Have you, in this life, bowed the knee to Jesus Christ and Him alone as Savior and Lord? Because doesn't it say in the book of Philippians that God highly exalted Jesus and gave Him a name that is above every name, so that every knee will bow? Friends, I don't know if you've realized this, but every person on the planet who has ever lived will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. There will be some who do it in heaven as an act of worship. Most will bow the knee in hell. And they will say, you know what? I bow the knee to Jesus because you're right. I hate you, but you're right. Friends, I want to warn you tonight. I want to call you. I want to call you to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to call you to bow the knee, to cast all of your crowns before Jesus Christ. You've got nothing to keep in this life. You've got nothing to reserve for yourself. Forget pride. Forget money. Forget women. Forget jobs. Forget popularity. Those things are important, but life is not about that. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Worship Him as Savior and as Lord. Come to Him as Master. Come to Him as Deliverer. Come to Him as the Sovereign One. And by the way, verse 11, everybody in heaven will sing this. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things. Wait. How powerful is God? God is so powerful that He created all things. All things. And because of your will, they existed. And because of your will, they are. Fellas, you were created not for you. Not for your own happiness in yourself. You were created to bring honor and glory to God. Guys, I want to call you tonight. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, everything I've said about heaven doesn't apply to you. Because heaven is not your destiny if you're not a Christian. But dear friends, if you would fall before the cross of Jesus Christ and acknowledge Him as Savior and Master and Lord, heaven is your destiny. Heaven is the place that you're going. No one can take that from you. No one can snatch you out of His hand. I would pray tonight that God's Spirit would open your heart so that you would hear and receive and respond rightly to the message of the gospel that has been preached. Father, I pray that you'd be with these guys. I pray that you would work on their hearts so that for those that are true believers, they might be excited and reminded again of your sovereignty and your power, that you sit on the majestic throne of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.